That God is good. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Let's have fun today. Can we do that? I'll tell you, to me, the most fun you can have is experiencing the Lord, because when you get in God's presence, the Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. So I think we need to come to church expecting God to do something, open for God to speak to our hearts, and walking away with it. Hey, that was a lot of fun. I need to come back. Amen. We're doing a different message. We've been doing a series on Are You Ready to Grow? I'm going to put that on pause today, because today we want to do a single message about missions. And I want you to be open to this conversation today, because I really, really believe that this concept of missions is more than a third world country and more than you stopping somebody outside a bar with a track and saying, if you're going to die today, where are you going to spend eternity? There's a balance here and rhythm that I want to discuss, that as we look deeper into it, we can see that there's a benefit to all of us and a part that we all play within the style and the rhythm of who we are. Because even in evangelism, I remember growing up in church and we'd have evangelists come in and they would push so hard about reaching the lost. And Proverbs says, whoever wins souls is wise, and the emphasis. And I remember as a young teenager thinking, yeah, I need to do this. I'm feeling the conviction of God that I need to go out and start reaching the lost, but I didn't know how. And so I just figured I need to fall in line to whatever everybody else did. And that was back in the day, that was those tracks. Do you remember those crazy little tracks? I mean, they were like cartoon pencil drawn, and they weren't even that good, but they were, yeah, I mean, they tried to make them scary, and the whole rhythm was to go someplace and on a Friday night where people coming out of bars or whatnot and stop them and say, listen, and the guy's drunk. I mean, I don't know how he's going to have a conversation with them anyway, but that's how we were told to do it. You stop them and say, if you're going to die right now, do you know where you spend eternity? Well, you've heard that? Does anybody remember those days? And maybe you do that, and maybe you're still doing it, and if it's working for you, I applaud you, because that's like an uphill battle for me. I mean, that's just not my style. That's not my rhythm. Yeah, and we all have our own styles. I mean, today, in my opinion, if you knock on someone's door and say, if you're going to die right now, I mean, that's 911 right there. You're asking for it. In the conceal and carry, you might get shot. You know what I mean? If you're going to die right now, and they start reaching, you're like, well, wait a minute. Come on. And some people's temperaments and personalities are totally different. Some of you are so out, full of energy and outgoing, and you can talk to a tree. I mean, you walk in a strange room, and you'll ever have friends by time in 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Some of us, it doesn't flow like that. We're more slow and quiet and observing and watching. And so everybody has their rhythm. And if we're not careful, we will almost put the responsibility of evangelism on those who are outgoing or those who are in full-time ministry. And really, we can see the importance. It's really for all of us to our benefit. Say, to my benefit. I'm always interested that Jesus has a unique way of teaching stuff and asking us to do things and not always showing us all the 1, 2, 3 results of what's happening. Have you ever had him do that to you? Just trust me. Come on, step out of the boat. Just trust me. Come on, just do that. Trust me. And a lot of times we're like, well, Lord, I can we talk about this? And when we obey the Lord, and whatever it might be, we find all the benefits start coming alive in our lives. And we look back and say, wow, if I'd only known all this, I would have done it way back then, right? And we'll even tell people, oh, you got to obey God because it makes your life so much awesome. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Because you have to walk it out yourself. I mean, Jesus said stuff like, man, if a person tries to keep their life for themselves, they're going to lose it. But if a person gives their life or lays it down for me in the gospel's sake, they're going to find true life. What does that mean? And then when you start doing it basically means as we obey God, man, there is stuff on the other side of the bridge of our obedience, whatever it might be, that Jesus doesn't always tell us. All good stuff. Why doesn't he just tell us all of it? And I believe because it takes faith and trust to obey God, even when you're not even for sure how this is going to come together. Lord, I don't even know how this is going to play out. But I just know that you're telling me to do something, so I'm just going to simply obey. And when you step out of the boat because you don't even understand all the benefits, but you're just obeying God, you're walking in a level of obedience, trust, and faith. And that's when you start to grow. And then when you look back and say, man, if I would have known this tithing thing works, I would have tithed years ago. See, offering's over, so I can talk about that. Man, if I knew forgiving the people that hurt me really frees me, I would have forgave that joker, blankety blank blank person, a long time. Come on, somebody. And so there's so many things that when we obey God that we discover so many benefits he never even told us that come along. And evangelism is kind of one of those things. And again, I want to discuss on a practical side today some ways that in your rhythm, in your design, how you can not witness, but be a witness. And we see the importance of this even from the heart of God, and we see it communicated through some of his key people at the early church. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. This is the New Century Version on this verse, and it says, the most important thing, this is Luke talking, the most important thing, wow, that's a priority right there. That's a priority. Have you ever gone to any seminars of like self-help and stuff? They always try to get you to list priorities, right? Because that's where you should be spending your money, your time, your energy on what's a priority to you. A lot of times people flip it. They have priorities, but they end up spending all their energy and time and money on things that aren't a priority, and they can't figure out why they're not reaching their priorities. And so learning your priorities is important in life. And here, Luke says, here's a priority to me, which is interesting because I'll be honest, not many Christians, I can dare say, that this is a priority to. And I think it's because we don't understand the power of this. The most important thing is that I complete my mission. What was his mission? The work that the Lord Jesus gave me. What was that work? To tell people the good news. See, the gospel's the good news. Say with me, the gospel is the good news. Actually, that's what the gospel means, good news. The gospel is good news. See, God doesn't want you to go around and tell people that God hates them, he's mad at them, because he's not. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, the good news is that you don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid it so you can go to heaven. The good news is you don't have to be broken. Jesus paid the price so you can be made whole. The good news is you don't have to be sick. Jesus took that upon him so you can be healed. Come on, somebody. The good news is you don't have to be unhappy. You can be happy, content, and fulfilled. The good news is the best life you could ever have is not in a book. It's in a person. Let's go. And his name is Jesus. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that. Acts 1:8, Jesus is saying, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice he didn't say you'll witness. He said you'll be a witness. Right. See, you're a witness regardless if you know it or not. See, what we're trying to do is help us to see who we are and how we're shining so that we can operate with strategically with God and his word so that we can be the best witness to reach the most people. To me, that's amazing right there. Because that's giving your life to do what God wants you to do so that he can reach people. Amen? All right, let me break this down in three practical groups. Number one, Jerusalem. Say Jerusalem. Jerusalem. That's people that are closest to us. Judea and Samaria. That's people that are near but different from us. And the ends of the earth, that's everybody else. So for us to successfully complete our mission, let's look at these again. Number one, I must share with those in my world. I must share with those in my world. So many times we try to reach people we don't have influence with. We need to start with the people that we have influence with. Sometimes we always start with the hard nut to crack. Well, I'm going to get, sometimes they're even in our house. Well, I'm going to get my son. He's going to get saved. And if it's the last thing I do, and you harp and you harp and you harp, and they're not getting saved, they just get harder. Coolest thing about being a witness is learning who do you have influence with. Go to those that are like you, that you have influence with. Because God has a way of using people to reach people. Now, this is oversimplified, but if you think about it on the practical, we got to read the Bible as like a newspaper. And from the practical, have you ever asked God why? God, why do you do it this way? I mean, because in my opinion, aren't you glad I'm not Jesus? Because I wouldn't have gone to the cross for you, by the way. First time the Roman soldier smacked me, it would have been all over. I mean, forget that. That crown of thorns coming, I'd be like, okay, wait a minute. We're not even going to get to the whipping scene. It's all over. You know you'd be the same way. And in creativity, I think, you know, what a cool way is like on every Tuesday or something like that Jesus just shows up in the clouds. Wouldn't it be cool to say, hey, do you want to know Jesus? Well, I don't really believe in God. Hang on just a minute. Look. every Tuesday at 4 p.m., right? There he is. Wait, how many people could we get saved if he showed? And he doesn't do it that way. I just think it'd be cool, but I mean, and I think a benefit to it is not just because he wants people to be reached, because we have to partner with the Lord. We have to partner with God. It's a partnership with the Holy Spirit that directs our lives. We don't have to force a situation. We have to be open for him to create the situation and simply step in it, obey. And I think that he wants a partnership just so, not only so people can be reached, but so we can grow. So we can step out in faith. So we can develop. Mm. Luke 8, verse 39, and this is the New Century Version, says, go back home. This is after a person was healed by Jesus, and he told him, go back home and tell the people how much God has done for you. So the men went all over town telling how much Jesus has done for him. Sharing just what, you don't have to share what you don't know. Well, why is this? I don't know. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. Well, what about that person? I don't know anything about that joker and the craziness that he's done. Because there's some crazy people in the church world. There just is. There's some crazy people in every world. No matter what group it is. But I don't know. I can't answer for everybody. All I can tell you is what he's doing in my life. Well, what does it say here? I don't know everything. I'm not called to know everything. All I'm doing, out of that relationship, I'm telling you what I've experienced. And that he's real to me. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have in you. And see, one of the key elements, I believe, in this whole conversation that we're having today about evangelism comes out of two key words that we have coined around here, and that's invest and invite. When it comes to reaching people, I believe the best pattern is to invest and invite. To invest and invite. Say invest,
invest.
And invite. It's like the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you begin to invest in somebody, and that could be feeding the hungry, which we have a food pantry. That could be encouraging people, praying with them, being kind to somebody, listening. Whatever the investment might be required at that point, being open for God to use you to invest in them. Because when you invest in people, they're more open to hear what you have to say. Gives you an opportunity to invite. I've noticed, in Acts, it said that Jesus went about doing good, destroyed the works of the devil. As he began to invest in people, the power and presence of God in their lives, they begin to follow him. I'm telling you, when you focus on investing in people, you'll have opportunities for conversations. People will ask, why are you doing this? People will ask, do you really believe this thing? People will ask, what's going on? And that's why I like this verse. It says, be ready. You don't have to have all the answers. Just be open for God to show you what to say at the time. And this type of evangelism is great one-on-one. It is great one-on-one. One of the things I like about our Tagged by God is that it is an amazing tool to get you into those opportunities. As God just places on your heart just to tag somebody and see what happens. Sometimes there's a conversation. Sometimes there's an invitation. Sometimes it's just planting a seed that God can use somebody else to water. Because we're part of a big picture, a big plan here to reach people that are unchurched and unsaved. And it's a great opportunity. I've just seen this thing just explode. It's a great opportunity to reach people. I have to tell myself, just this past week, because I'm always, just like yourself, we're all in the race together. We're all growing and learning and going together. And so I'm open. All right, Lord, use me. That's a simple prayer. Lord, if you want to use me this week, use me. Just speak to my heart. And so I look for those moments. This past week, I had a moment that I don't know if it was a God moment, but I went ahead and tagged somebody. I was going through a drive-through restaurant, and I'm kind of like getting this off my conscience so I feel better about life. And I went through this drive-through restaurant, and I was getting some food, and I hand the lady my debit card. And I just had this feeling that, you know, I've heard stories of people handing out a card, and the people are swiping it 3 or 4 times, right? Or they get your number and try to steal your identity. And not that you have to live in fear, and I don't. But I just had this feeling, you know, I'm a little unsure about this person. Maybe it was, I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost, maybe it was the moment, maybe it was the rest in peace she had tattooed on her neck really big. I don't know, something made me feel nervous about the moment. And so I thought to myself, self, this person's got my debit card and is getting ready to do my make my food. And so I want them to be happy with me because, you know, it's hard to steal from somebody you like. It's hard to spend in someone's food that you like, right? And so I quickly took off my wristband and said, you know, you're doing a great job and I want to tag you. So now this is taking on a whole new facet in my life, right? You know. And what was funny thing about the story is after I gave it, she said thanks, and she went to put it on and turned to the person that was making the food, and she says, look what he gave me, and she's putting it on, and the person cooking the food said, hi, Pastor, and she's waving, and she's got on the wristband, so I'm like, okay, I'm safe. You never know. I must share with those in my world. True story. That's a true story. I just have a visual of someone getting pulled over and telling the police officer, I just want to tag you. You're doing a great job. Yeah. Help me, Jesus. Second thing, I must dare to reach beyond my world. And this is more of a risk. Have you noticed that if it's individually or collectively as a group, there takes a certain amount of risk with it? I must dare. This moves me out of my comfort zone. I must dare to reach beyond my world. 1 Corinthians 9:22, New Living Translation says, I try to find common ground, Paul says, with everyone so that I might bring them to Christ. The cool thing about that is that we have those opportunities to talk and have a conversation. And one of the things that we see in business books, in self-help books, or motivational books that I believe they get principles out of the Word of God, is they tell you that if you want to really develop a network, don't talk about yourself, talk about the other person, because everybody likes talking about their own thing. And there's a tendency of telling people about yourself, but even greater, find common ground. Because there's people that God will give you an opportunity to reach out to that aren't like you. And when you learn to find common ground, what's important to them, and start in that conversation, you'll have an opportunity then or maybe in the future to present the gospel, the good news. And this is best done not only just individually, but it builds. This is best done collectively as a group because we're reaching people outside our world. I mean, whatever ministry, even volunteering, if in our food pantry, if you're serving in the food pantry, you are coming together with a group of people to reach people that it's outside your world in an effort and benefit to influence them, to invest in them so that we can reach them for the gospel. If you're a greeter, parking greeter, working in the nursery, stuffing bulletins, secure, whatever it might be, when you come together, you got to see volunteering even in a service is more than just you volunteering. You're coming together collectively with a group of people with the assignment of finding common ground and reaching people outside our own individual world so that we can reach them with the gospel. That's amazing. That'd make you want to sign up for something. Because you can receive by coming, but you can invest by being a part of something that's bigger than yourself with the idea of regardless of what you're doing, that when it comes together, we are all part of a team with the assignment of reaching people with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, people that we could never reach on our own. Last but not least, I must care about the whole world. Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus said, then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone everywhere. And I want you to notice something. It says to go. He didn't say wait. It said they'll come to you. Because some people will never come through the doors. Some people never walk up. Sometimes you have to go and initiate. And I think this is best done collectively as a church, corporately as a church. That we can reach more. We are more than just the sum total of who we are individually. Because when we come together corporately, God has a way of making an impact that's beyond just our own abilities. Psalm 67:2 says, may your ways be known throughout the earth. I like to say it this way, make God famous. Your saving power among your people everywhere. We have ability corporately, together as a church, to make God famous. That means to make God big in the lives of people that don't know him yet. Because we're not trying to reach people that he's already reached. We're not trying to reach people in other churches. We're trying to reach people that are unchurched and unsaved. Strategically, effectively, efficiently, in a manner that allows us to impact the most people. When we start looking at that context, then we start beginning to see this whole idea even on third world countries and mission field. And I bring the lead up all the way to where we're at today. Tomorrow I'm flying out to go to the Philippines on a mission trip. This is something that my dad started about 30 or 40 years ago. God placed on his heart to start reaching the Philippines through the establishment of local churches. So my dad flew out there and found one key guy, started working with him, started supporting him till he was stable, and then through that began to reach out to other pastors. Today, as a beginning of that structure, today we have over 200 Hope churches in the Philippines. Over 20,000 members, Hope Church members in the Philippines. That's amazing, folks. That's a God thing. That's doing what we know we can do and watching God do what we can't do. And I remember the day over 10, 11, 12 years ago when my dad passed away, a few days after he passed, I got a phone call from Pastor Jesse Ramos, who's our national director over there. Under him is 8 regional directors. Under them is the pastors. And he said, Pastor Greg, I want you to know that we're grieving with you about the loss of your dad because he was like a father figure for many of them. And he said, but we also want you to know that we believe in the anointing that God's placed in your life, and we believe in authority, and I'm calling to represent all the pastors of Hope Ministries International, and we are submitting ourselves unto you. That was a surreal moment, I'll be honest with you. Because somebody who's over literally that many people, they could have said, listen, we're on our own. But for them to call and say, we are submitting unto you. And so I stay in pretty constant contact, a regular contact with Pastor Jesse. And so we go over there every few years to minister to them. We're getting, this whole week, we're going to be doing a conference in the Philippines. If you've never been to a third world country, I encourage you to do a mission trip one time. It will change your life. First time I went, when I got back into Detroit, I wanted to kiss the carpet. I mean, I was so serious about, I am glad to be back in America. Because most Americans, understandably so, you see stuff on TV, but until you see it in real life, in flesh and blood, and see what people live with and around the world in this day and age, what they don't have drinking water that's clean. I mean, we just don't think anything of it. It's time to wake up. I'm telling you, I'm going to preach any way I can. We can't sleep through this whole thing, man. We got to wake up. It's time to preach, pray, prophesy, and reach people. Amen. That was good timing, isn't it? But we have a Bible school over there, and here's what we're going to be doing. Just give you information. It takes me 24 hours. It's actually 23 hours and 45 minutes to be exact. Not counting my layover of waiting in the airport. So you're talking 26 hours to get there. Once we get there, they're 12 hours ahead. So I will arrive. I leave tomorrow morning at 10:30. I'll get there about 10:15. It'll be p.m. for them, so it'll be Tuesday night. I'm on the ground 5 days. I am preaching every day. I need you to be praying for me. Pray for my voice. Including today's services, I'll have preached 8 times in 7 days. I've never done that before, so it's a stretch for me, and I look forward to challenges. But we're going. We are preaching in 2 different locations. We're going to be doing a special dinner with some of our key pastors because we're bringing in a lot of the key pastors. There's about 70 of them that's going to be there. And one of the things we started years ago is we have them with a buffet, and then we do a service. And the buffet kind of deal is something that most Americans would think no big deal of. And on a practical side, it really is not like a need. But when you see what these men and women of God who are preaching and giving their life to the gospel live with, then most of them live on rice, maybe one meal a day, chicken with that if they can get it. And I remember the first time we did it, the pastor was so amazed. He didn't know what an olive was. You mean they eat the foods that we eat and think no big deal about they'd never seen before. And to have the opportunity to go back for seconds or eat what they want is just beyond their realm. In fact, I learned from my dad years ago, that's why we don't bring them to here. Because when they get to see how you and I live and how you live, you know what I mean? They get so excited about that, they can't survive back in the Philippines with what they're used to. And so to me, it's not a necessary cost, but I believe it's a necessary cost. To take men and women of God, giving their life, and to give them just a nice meal. We preach to them. We also do a leadership with our Bible school and the leaders in the churches, area churches. We'll be doing a meeting there. We do an outdoor crusade. Last time, Be praying for the weather too. They're expecting it to rain every day. We don't want that. But last time we did an outdoor crusade, over 4,000 people came in the community. Hundreds of people got saved. Many people got healed. It was a powerful time. So we do that. We do the leaders. We do the pastors. We do the couple churches. We do the outdoor crusade. And it's a matter of us coming together, be a part of something bigger than what we could do on our own collectively. The cost of this trip, and I've shared this openly, and I encourage you, and I need you to pray about a couple things. Number one, I need you to pray for our protection. Anytime you go in a third world country, there is practical challenges, okay? So there is a risk, but we're believing for God's divine protection. Will you be praying with me about that? Because pastor's going, but pastor want to come back too? Protection. Favor. We need to pray for divine favor. Going through customs, all the whole process, no hookups, I mean, no hang-ups, no mess-ups, nothing. We need divine favor all the way through. Amen? We agree with that? Amen. I need you to be praying for my voice and for the weather. We need those to come in alignment. And also, I need you to be praying that the budget will be met. Will you join with me? Because we need for the budget, three. I got three people. Can I get a fourth? Can I get a five? How about a five? I got a five. Good. Now, the cost of the budget for this trip from beginning to end is $21,000. That's a lot of money. But if you're here today and you feel led by God to write a check to pay for the whole $21,000 conference, we'll give a few seconds. Hang on, I'm waiting. Now they're leaving, so you never know. You just let me see. No, she's taking her position. She's fine. It hasn't happened yet, but one day someone's going to step past her. I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll take her. But I want all of us to do something. 21,000 is too big for any one person, practically. I did the numbers. If we can get 600 people to give $35, that can do it. Now, I'm not a type of preacher, if you're guests with us, I'm not the type of preacher to force people to do a number. I'm giving you how this can be broken down where we all can be a part. So I want us all to do something. So I'm going to ask them to hand out an envelope to everybody. And I want you to find out what God wants you to do. Because some of you, $35 might be just stretching you. Do something. For some of you, you can do 100. You can do 500. You can do 1,000. I had a lady after Wednesday night church said, I'm going to be gone, Pastor. Here's a check. And she gave me a check for 250 toward this trip. I had a person give a check for 2,000. Some of you, God's blessed you in a position of your life now that you can do it. Whatever you can do, we appreciate. We need everybody to do something. So I'm going to ask every person to have an envelope because there is power in a unified obedience when we come together. We did a video of our last crusade a couple years ago. And so while they're handing out these offering envelopes, I want you to take a moment. And we're going to, let me read the scripture though, while they're getting ready for the video. Mark 10 verse 29 says, Jesus replied, I assure you that everyone who has given up a house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times over. What is he saying? Listen, when you invest into the work of God, God has a way of returning it back to you. It's an investment. It's an investment with a return. With a return. In fact, one of the greatest returns we see in Gospel John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said in New Living Translation, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. See, I wish right there would be a great time for that buzzer to be going off. Wake up and look around. The fields are ready, already ripe for harvest. The harvesters pay good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people. Notice this, the harvest is people brought to eternal life. That's what we're going for, folks. See, people saved, healed, and delivered. Now notice this. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true.